With Montana News, I'm Eric Whitney. Missoula County Attorney Kirsten Pabst lashed out at author John Krakauer today, saying his book about sexual assaults in Missoula released yesterday contains, quote, many factual errors. Krakauer's book is sharply critical of Pabst for not prosecuting alleged rapists. In a 20-minute monologue at the county courthouse today, Pabst said,
the author wrote on the assumption that a prosecutor's job is to blindly seek convictions. In reality, our job is to seek the truth and to do justice. We do things based on facts, based on evidence. And when making legal decisions, we must put emotion aside.
Pabst acknowledged that her office missed things in sexual assault cases in the past, and that she regrets that, and not being more mindful of victims' trauma. But she said numerous significant changes have been made at her office to improve sexual assault prosecutions. Pabst said today is the day to celebrate our new direction. We'll broadcast more of Pabst's remarks tonight at 5:44 p.m. A transcript of her speech today is available on our website, mtpr.org. The Montana Attorney General's office is asking a state judge to dismiss a lawsuit that's intended to stall the Flathead Tribal Water Compact. Attorney General Tim Fox wrote that the complaint against the state brought by a group of irrigators on the Flathead Indian Reservation is frivolous. The Flathead Joint Board of Control yesterday asked for an emergency temporary restraining order to block the governor from signing the compact, an agreement settling tribal and state water use rights. A former employee of a chemical dependency and mental health treatment center for teens in Missoula has denied raping a 13-year-old patient. The Missoulian reports 23-year-old Justin Griffith pleaded not guilty to sexual intercourse without consent during a hearing in district court today. Court records say Griffith acknowledged having been in a, quote, intimate relationship with a girl over a weekend in March. The University of Montana student has been working the night shift as a clinical care worker at Western Montana Addiction Services Teen Recovery Center. Griffith remains free on pretrial supervision as long as he stays away from the victim and any other teens at the center. Tomorrow at the state legislature, the full House will vote on whether to put a measure on next November's ballot that would take money from coal taxes to fund future state infrastructure projects. UM Legislative News Service's Madeline Beck reports.
Senate Bill 353 would dip into the coal tax trust. Comprised of 50% of the state's coal tax dollars, the trust has generally funded building and grant programs like the Treasure State Endowment Program and regional water systems. However, some of those projects can now be funded by the trust's interest alone, leaving excess funds for other uses. Republican Senator Rick Ripley proposes using the extra funds for general infrastructure. This has been a rough issue this session as legislators argue over whether the state should use loans or cash to pay to fix the aging roads and water systems across the state. In fact, it's one of the last issues keeping legislators here in Helena as the session heads to a close. Even if it takes a few years before the fund's interest could fully pay for the state's infrastructure, he says setting this money aside would prevent future arguments over infrastructure funding.
And when that is built up to $262 million or whatever, like there is in TCEP, then we would operate solely off the interest.
However, Democratic Representative Ed Leeser says Democrats may not be fully supportive. Leeser says the trust's extra funds may be better left without a specific purpose in case they're needed.
Last session, we made some progress at trying to ensure that that public employees retirement system is well funded. And part of that came out of this coal trust fund.
Without Democratic support, this bill will die as it requires a two-thirds vote by the full legislature to be sent to the ballot next election.
That's UM Legislative News Service's Madeline Beck. Today, the Blackfeet Nation launched a campaign urging the termination of oil and gas leases in the Badger II Medicine area southeast of Glacier National Park. Corin Cates Carney reports on the 30-year-old land dispute.
Badger II Medicine is home to the Blackfeet stories of creation. Chief Earl Oldperson says oil drilling should never be allowed to disrupt the land.
Badger II Medicine is our territory. It is our land. It is something that we're trying to protect. It's everything to us.
The land is outside the Blackfeet Reservation in the Lewis and Clark National Forest, and the decision on what to do with the leases lies with the U.S. Department of Interior. In 1982, Interior issued a Louisiana company named Solex an oil and gas lease in the Badger II Medicine. It's one of 18 leases remaining of 47 granted in the 1980s. Most leaseholders accepted buyouts or trades for other leases in order to leave the land. Some left voluntarily. Exploration on the leased land was suspended in 1993 by the Secretary of Interior. Remaining leases are currently in suspension. Mountain States Legal Foundation, representing Solnex, says the delay is unreasonable. The Blackfeet tribe will meet with the company in Great Falls Thursday in a discussion to be mediated by the National Forest Service. In the Flathead, I'm Corin Cates Carney, Montana Public Radio.
The Montana Attorney General's office is asking a state judge to dismiss a lawsuit intended to stall the Flathead Tribal Water Compact. Attorney General Tim Fox wrote that the complaint against the state brought by a group of irrigators on the Flathead Indian Reservation is frivolous.
As the 2015 Montana legislative session draws to a close, many lawmakers are saying their goodbyes. Steve Jess reports on one who made history.
It's like the last week of high school in the State House and Senate as lawmakers who've been term-limited out of office say their farewells. Wednesday was Republican Senator Debbie Barrett's turn. In January, this rancher from Dillon became the first woman elected Senate president.
I humbly thank each of you for allowing me this high honor and the great privilege of being your leader. Stop that.
Barrett praised her colleagues for seeking bipartisan solutions to the state's problems and admonished them against giving up power to the governor or state bureaucrats. She closed with a quote from Mark Twain.
Always do what is right. It will gratify one half of mankind and astound the rest. Goodbye.
Under law, Barrett has to leave the Senate after serving four terms. She could return to the House, where she started out in 2001, but instead, Barrett says, she's legislative toast. I'm Steve Jess.